Biakut to share, to bring the word for us today. So I invite Loic to come on up. So Loic has been a member of our church since about 2018, I think. He has been faithfully teaching our young adults group, which we heard about on Tuesdays, for several years now. And so let me just pray for him, and then he will share the word with us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this faithful brother. Thank you, Father, for the word that you have placed on his heart. I pray, Father, would you give him freedom and authority to preach your word. May he be faithful and true to your word, Father. Would you please give us, the congregation, ears to hear what you, Jesus, have to say to us today. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, good afternoon. Good afternoon. So, my name is Loic, as Pastor Jim said. Call me Loic. I have heard all kinds of pronunciation of my name. And I'm really, really glad to be here. And my expectation is really that the Lord bless us as we share the word. So let's just bow our heads. I would like to pray for us as we start. Jesus, as we sang, O God, we love you. We trust in you, O Father. Father, I just pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that every word that we are going to share, O Father, might be good for our soul, for our spirit, and that it might lead us in the green pastures that you have prepared for us. Father, I thank you because we have not come into your presence in vain, O God. You are the one who is going to speak to us. Father, I pray for power. I pray for authority. Father, I pray for your grace, O God, for the hearts to be open, God, to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message for today is Anatomy of Good Works. And I guess many people who saw the title in the beginning, they asked themselves, what is he going to talk about? You know, it's something that the Lord has been, you know, laying in my heart for so many years, I would think. And since I gave my life to Christ, there are topics that were specific in my heart. You know, last time I shared about righteousness. Righteousness was part of the thing. I felt God was really pressing on my heart to understand. There was a topic about the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? What is his place in my life? How can I live with him? And all these things, I grew up in a conservative church back in Cameroon, and there were many of these things that were never explained to me, and I could never really get what are those things the Bible is talking about. There was the divinity of Jesus. All the time I asked myself the question, why on earth do evangelicals, when they sing their songs, they always worship Jesus? Why don't they worship only God the Father? Why Jesus is so emphasized? Because when we grew up, we just saw this, you know, little Jesus going to, born in the manger. And then we don't quite understand who is Jesus for us. And then there is a last topic as well, is the doctrine of Jesus. Actually, how can I live that doctrine? Honestly, for me, when I came to Christ, I didn't want to believe something that is wrong. I didn't want to leave the world and then get into the church to be deceived. You know, you are in the world, you are deceived. You leave any kind of work that you are doing, and then you join the church, and then you are also deceiving the church. What's the point? So, in my heart, I dearly wanted to know what is the truth about the Bible. Teach me the truth. This is what I want. I don't want something that is going to please me. And at the end, as I was deceived in the world, I am also deceived in the church. So it's important to have a correct faith in Jesus. The correct faith. Doctrine is important. Because with the correct faith in Jesus, you will avoid deception. And then you will build on a good foundation. You know, when we build this kind of settings that we have, we need to set the foundations right. Otherwise, everything that we are building is going to fall apart. So what's the point to build if the foundations are not right? So before I start talking about the anatomy of good works, I want to go back to one of the texts that is dear to my heart. It's in Hebrew. Can we have it, please? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. So the first time I shared some months ago, I spoke about repentance, how repentance is important in order to get into righteousness. There is no work that a human being can do in order to be accepted by God unless he received the free gift that Jesus gave to him. And unless, while receiving the free gift, he decided to turn. If you remember, we shared that repentance means metanoia. It means that I turn. I was going in a direction. And then I realized that I am wretched. I need a savior. Lord, save me. The Lord comes into my heart. And then I decide to take another direction and to follow the Lord. So after I repented, I get into what we call faith towards God. You know, if, for example, somebody is going to Harburg, and some minutes later, you call the person, and then he tells you he's in Kiel. Are you not going to be surprised? You are going to be surprised. And if you talk to the person, what is he going to tell you? Maybe I changed my mind. I wanted to go to Harburg, but actually I realized that that's not the good destination for me. The good destination for me is Kiel. And then the person goes full in towards that direction. This is the faith towards God. So today, I want to carry on after repentance to faith towards God by explaining exactly what does it mean. And then you have the doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and the eternal judgment. My dear desire is that all these topics might be right in our mind, that the Lord gives us full understanding of the elementary principles of Christ, so that when we walk with God, we walk assured that actually where we are going in the right direction. And this we will do if God permits. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, today we will focus on the faith towards God, the biblical faith, and its dynamic. Faith is dynamic. There is no faith actually talking about Christianity that is not dynamic. And true biblical faith is active. Before I start talking about the anatomy of good works, as I said, I want first to put a disclaimer in Philippians 3, verse 9. I didn't put it, but it says, Paul is talking. He says, that I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God that depends only on faith. So when I believe in God, the Lord proclaims me righteous. He gives me the righteousness of Jesus. This is the basic of faith. I receive my salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, and not because I'm doing very good things, and not because I'm very talented and I show off my talent. My salvation, I receive it through the Lord Jesus Christ. However, the salvation that we receive through our faith in Jesus Christ is not supposed to stay unfruitful. It is supposed to bear fruits. And those fruits, this is what we call the works. So, The understanding of this dynamic between faith and works led me to read the book of Titus. In general, when we talk about faith, we only see Hebrews, you know, where we have the hallmarks of faith, these great people who did great things. But in other books of the Bible, where we can also find revelations about faith, there are other things we have to learn. So the context that we have in the book of Titus, Paul writes to the people of Crete, the Cretans. I just want to put it in a little bit in the context before we get there. Paul had missionary trips. You know how he got saved. God took him from a horse. He wanted to kill Christians. And Jesus appeared to him. And Jesus gave him a mission. You have to teach to the people who I am. You will be an evangelist, an apostle of nations. And Paul entered into his missions. He performs his missionary trips between Act 13 and Act 23. And because Paul was so strong in his faith, some people thought that he was bringing a new doctrine, because the people just wanted to worship God according to the law of Moses. And because of that, fake news started spreading, because people didn't like Paul. They didn't like what he was preaching, what he was bringing in. Fake news started spreading that this guy is teaching us something else. He is not teaching the doctrine that we have heard from our parents. He is teaching something else. So you have to arrest him. Paul gets arrested. He gets in prison. And in Act 28, we see that Paul spent 2 years in prison. And in his imprisonment, he writes letters. He continues to serve God. So in the prison, Paul writes a lot of letters. He writes to the people of Galatia. He writes Thessalonians. Missionary trips, he writes to Galatians, Thessalonians, Corinthians, Romans. And in the prison, Paul continues to write. He writes to the Ephesians, I wanted to say, to the Colossians, to Philemon, to Philippians. And then Paul gets liberated. When Paul gets liberated, he feels like he doesn't have time anymore. You know, when you are in prison first time, second time, maybe you are killed. So he has to perform the last missionary trips. And he starts with Crete, these people that you see, where we have a new church where there were new believers. And then he continues. He couldn't tarry in Crete because there were many churches he had to visit. And then when he was, next slide please, when he was in, before that, yes, when he was in Nicopolis, he writes to the people of Crete in order to give them instructions about the works that they have to do. And he also gives them instructions about what Titus has to do. So, can we go on? So, Paul writes to Titus, and then he says, to Titus, a true son in our what? In our common faith, which is very important for me, because you see that Paul is pouring his heart to a son, and he is assured because this person is sharing the same faith. It's not another faith, it's the same faith. And we will see that the reason why he's talking to his son of a common faith is because there are other people who believe in Jesus but who have different faith. And what is the reason they have different faith? It's because they have a different doctrine. So you will see the next verse in Titus 1 verse 13, this testimony is true. Rebuke them. He's talking about the people who are there talking about Jesus, but also adding all the stuff. They were Judaizing. So they will tell people, okay, you can believe in Jesus, but at the same time, you can also believe in dualism. Meaning that, oh, you have to kill your flesh if you have to be a very spiritual person. And how much more do we see today? We see people preaching Jesus, and at the same time, I come from Africa, we do also juju. Okay, you can believe in Jesus, but you know, if you have a little bit of problems, you also have this that can work. This is another faith. This is not a common faith. In order to walk in the common faith that Paul had, and when he preaches to Titus, you have to understand what is the doctrine of Christ. You have to be grounded in the word and in the truth. And Paul said to Titus, for this reason, I can't stay. For this reason, I left you to Crete that you should set in order the things that are lacking. So obviously it's a church that started, but there were things that were lacking. So if you want to walk, if you want your church to walk in the right direction, I want you to set the things that are lacking, and then you will also appoint the elder for that. And you will see in those things that are lacking, Paul will show us a dynamic between the faith and the works. Okay, I see you have a church, you are good people and so on, but I have heard certain things about you that you have to fix. You know, I have heard certain things about you that you have to change in order to grow. Amen. So let's go. Next slide, please. So let's get into the full topic. Dead works and good works. Reading Titus is just 3 chapters. I would really recommend anybody to read. It's very fast. And you will be amazed at the number of times Paul is talking about good works. I was shocked. And it is important to define the terms. Because if you don't understand what is dead works and what is good works, you will serve God, but the wrong way. So what is a dead work? If there is a body here without life, everybody will agree that this is not a living being. It's a dead being. Why? Because there is no life in the person. So a dead work is any work that is void of the life of God. In the Old Testament, we had good, evil and good. That was the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, there is something that is added on top of that. In the New Testament, it's not just good or evil in terms of appearance. It is also dead. And the feature of dead in the New Covenant that Jesus adds is not anymore just on the appearance of the work, but on the depth of the work, what is in the heart. So in the New Covenant, it's not just about something that I do that looks good or that I do that looks bad. It's even the intention in it. So when the intention is wrong, actually the work can look good, but it is still dead. So today, we realize that dead works in the New Covenant is not only about the appearance of good or the appearance of evil. It's about even the intentions that was behind it. It's the heart posture. I like the thumbnail that Caroline did for me, because in the thumbnail, I could see the heart before we talk about the members of the good works. And the heart is Jesus. Jesus is the heart. I will take an example. You know, the Bible says, love your neighbor. This was the law. Love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But Jesus came. What did he say? Love your neighbor, love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you, because God makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. So what does it mean, Jesus? It means that actually, if somebody is against me, my reaction will show the intentions of my heart, how my heart is bad. And it doesn't matter how many excuses I can have. What is much more important in the eyes of God is what is inside. So in the book of James, there is a good comparison between a faith that is active and the faith that is inactive. James says, you see that faith was active along with his work. Faith was completed by his works. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Is it contradicting the Bible? No. Let's talk about good works. I try to find good definitions for good works in opposition to dead works. The first one that I found, that one I found on the internet, it says, works of God through men that demonstrate their faith in Jesus. It means that actually anything that you do, and that is showing that you have a faith in Jesus. So if people do not see the things that you do, actually, maybe you don't have that faith you think you have. Maybe you have something else. The second definition, it says, works that proceed from the faith one confesses. So if you confess that you have faith in the Lord, there should be works that attest your faith. If there is no work that attests your faith, actually, your faith is dead. And the last definition is my own definition, and I love it. And then I said, good works is any action or deed recommendable according to the doctrine of Christ. You cannot miss it if you follow the doctrine of Christ. If Christ is talking about the condition of your heart, and you give your heart to the Lord, he changes it. You are sure of something, that the work that is coming out of it is a good work. If somebody is here in this place and you feel your heart is wretched, I want to tell you something. There is a hope for you. You can receive a new heart. In the book of Ezekiel, God said in the new covenant that he will send his spirit. He will give us a new spirit and he will give us a new heart. This is a promise. So if when I feel, oh God, I feel so offended by this and that, or I feel my heart is so evil, I want to change, there is hope for me. I can come to God and I ask to God, Lord, give me a new heart. And God will do so. And I will be sure that from the dynamic of this new heart in me, there is going to be good works that is going to be out, to come out of it. Didn't Jesus say that what defiles you is what comes out of your heart? So if God is able to change my heart, I know that the works that is coming from it is going to be good works. Works that God can consume. And at the end, when the judgment will come, those works will speak on my behalf for the reward. In general, Christians, we don't like to talk about rewards. There is going to be rewards in heaven. In the principles of Christ, there is the judgment day that is coming. And in the judgment, it's not just about the people who are in the world. Even Christians should be judged. But they will be judged to receive a reward. And the reward they are going to receive is according to the good works. So the Holy Spirit is going to test the work. Is it worth it or is it not worth it? Is it standing the test of fire, or is it not standing the test of fire? If the works that we did came from a heart that was changed by God, amplified by the Holy Spirit, I know that the work that I'm doing, those are good works. And let me tell you something. The purpose of good works is to give glory to God. The good works are never intended to give glory to a man. It is intended to give glory to God, so that when people see this work, the only thing they can say, this person has God. The people will not be focused on the person, but their hearts will be turned towards God. And this is the reason why Paul wants Titus, who shared the same faith with him, to lead the people into that same faith, so that they can perform good works. The last verse I put is the verse Paul mention when he talked against the people who were teaching wrong things. You know, when you teach wrong things, the works that also come after that would be also wrong. See what Paul is saying. He say, they profess to know God. So these people, they think they know God. They profess to know God, but in their works, they deny him. It doesn't necessarily mean that they are doing evil things. It might mean that what they are doing is not according to the doctrine of Christ. And as I said, the people of Crete, they believe in dualism. This is not the doctrine of Christ. So at the end, you will find people who will mortify themselves in order to please God and thinking that what they are doing is so good because they look different than other people, but actually their works is what is dead works. And what is Paul saying? He says, they profess they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and what? Disqualified from every good work. So you see how the perception that you have of the truth can qualify you for good works or can disqualify you for good work. If I'm standing here preaching and the objective of the preaching is for the glory to be turned to me, guess what? At the end, this is what? Dead work. Disqualify from good works. Because it is not according to the doctrine of Christ. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So the heart of good works, again, is Jesus. Jesus should be at the center. And the purpose of good works is to give glory to the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 13, you see how it talks about, you know, if I'm able to give all my money to the poor of this earth, if I don't have what? Love. Everything that I'm doing, useless. If I don't have love, love is the doctrine of Jesus. So if I work and then what I'm doing does not encapsulate Jesus, at the end of it, what does it benefit? Just me. Jesus is not in it. So when we come to the understanding of what good works are, now we can talk about what are the different works that Paul is recommending the people to perform. And I think it's really important because when you look at the different works that Paul gives, you can find your place. It's for everybody. There is nobody who read Titus and feels like, I'm not in there. This is for highly spiritual people. As for me, I'm just this small person. Please, next slide. So, the first member of the good works that Paul is talking about is the internal works of devotion to God. You will see that in Titus, there is a condensed and sharp version of the gospel where Paul is putting an emphasis on the character that people should have. The moment they give their lives to God, the Holy Spirit comes, he changes everything inside, and we are supposed to produce fruits for the kingdom, humility, kindness, self-control. So Paul is giving qualifications about, for example, how to appoint elders. There is nothing about the anointing there. It's everything about character. Paul is talking about what the old people should do, the old man, the old woman, the young man, the young woman. Everything is tied up to character, is character based. So if you have given your life to Jesus and the Holy Spirit is working in you, these are the things that we are supposed to see in your life. If we are not seeing it, so then that means that maybe somewhere the Holy Spirit is not there. Maybe. And if the Holy Spirit is there, maybe somewhere I'm just being a rebel. I'm just not listening to what the Holy Spirit is telling me because this is what is supposed to be produced in my life. So in Titus 2 verse 11 to 14, Paul says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." What does that grace do? It teaches us to do what? To deny ungodliness, worldly lust. When people talk about grace in general, we talk about this good, loving thing where there is no boundaries anymore. You know, God loved me so much and then I can live my life the way I want. No. Actually, grace is supposed to teach us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. Deeds that do not have the law of Christ. And purify for himself his own people. And what are they supposed to do? Zealous for good works. So it is impossible for the Holy Spirit to work in my heart so dearly. Bring the fire of God in me. And there is no zeal appearing for the good work. It is it's not the plan of God. The plan of God is to purify me so that I can be zealous for good works because Christ lives in me. This is the first member. The second member of good works. Next one, please. The external works of mercy to man. I have to make a confession here. For me, I had very good parents. My father, when I read this, I just thought about my late father because he was just a good person, giving things to people, always give, you know, the hand was just open. And my mother as well, she's still alive. She's a deacon and she helps the people who are in need in her church. But, you know, there are things as a person, in my personal experience, that kind of blocked me from fully entering into this. In the past, I used to do it, but I felt after some time my heart was offended. You know how you can help people and at the end they are so ungrateful? But actually, Jesus wants us to do this. It doesn't matter how the people are. This is the reason why we have to come back and give our hearts to him. For me, I felt after so many years that I have fell short of this one. Because there was a time in my life I was so full in this, following my father's steps. But when I saw how people were ungrateful to him, I was like, is it really the way to go? But the Lord Jesus had mercy on me and taught me again these things. You have to carry on where you stopped. I hope it's the same thing for you, that you have not been so disappointed by people that you stop extending your hands for them. In the book of Titus, what does he say? This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. So we give glory to God, but we are profitable to men. So if you are not working in this, how would the world know that these are Jesus people? Jesus Leute. The world would only know that these are Jesus people when we fully enter into these works of mercy. Titus 3 verse 14, it says, "And let our people also maintain, learn to maintain, to devote themselves, to give themselves to good works, to meet the urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful." I think everybody can do this. That they may not be unfruitful. It means that the kingdom of God will bear fruit through them. There are very good examples in the Bible. I thought about Job. I like to talk about Cornelius. I think the people in YAG would agree that I always talk about this guy, Cornelius. But for today, I think it's good to talk about Dorcas, just for a minute. Dorcas in the Bible, if you read Acts chapter 9, such a beautiful story. Very short, but the Bible is clear about her. The Bible says Dorcas was full of good works and also of acts of charity. You know what Dorcas did? In her congregation, she used to sew tunics and clothes for people. She did it so well that one day she fell sick and she died. People couldn't accept the death of this person. So they had to tell the disciple, hey, our person died. Call Peter somewhere. And Peter came, he saw the widows. The widows were showing him all the good stuff she sold for them. And Peter asked them out. He prayed and he resurrected her. Hallelujah. You see how works of mercy to men, it brings the heart of somebody so merry. Jesus talked about it. He said, if you see these small children and you just give a cup of water, you have done something great in the kingdom of God. So the Lord is calling us to extend our hands, not to be stingy that much, but to extend our hands to the people who are in need. Just give a cup of water, bring a smile into the face of somebody. When you are doing so, you are walking in the common faith that Paul is talking about, because he asked to maintain good works. I'm not going to tarry too much here because of the time, and I'm going to finish with the last one, which is not so much in Titus. No, one slide before. The third works. There is no slide? Okay. The third works is the work of the Spirit. I couldn't end up without talking about that. This one is not in the book of Titus, but we have to bring a little bit of balance. So there are works of mercy. There is the change of heart, works of devotion to God, but there are also the works of the Spirit. I love this one because for me, my life changed when the Holy Spirit came. And the works of the Spirit, you know it better than I. The Lord calls you, you follow the Lord, you are an evangelist. On Thursday, we had this beautiful mini crusade in the kind of, you know, good settings where we preach the gospel. These works of the Spirit are the ones the Lord has for each of us. Ephesians 2 says that we are His workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus for the good works that the Lord has prepared in advance for us. So when the Lord creates you new in Jesus, there are good works for you. And these are the works of the Spirit. You might walk in healings. You might walk in deliverance. You might be an evangelist, bringing people to God. As for me, I'm just expecting for the day I will go into prison to preach to the people, to bring the gospel there for the people to receive Jesus. So these are the three members, if I can call it like that, of the good works of God that we have today. The question is, some people might ask themselves, how can we do it? I have for today no answer for that. The only answer I have for today is just do it. These things we do, we learn by practicing. There is no theory we are going to... We can give a lot of theories. We always do that. But at the end, it's when you start doing that you know what to do and what not to do. So my recommendation for today is just do it and do it well. If you feel in your heart that after this preaching, the Lord is calling you to extend your hand to somebody, just do it. Your reward is in heaven. If you feel like, oh, for me, I need a change of heart, call upon the name of the Lord. And when you call upon His name, believe that He has done it. You shouldn't doubt in your heart. And then you walk freely. You walk with self-control, with confidence in God. And if for you is the work of the Spirit, yeah, when you preach to the people who are sick, ask to pray for them. ask to pray for them and see what the Lord is doing. Follow the Lord. Follow that faith in obedience to Jesus. So I want to end up with the text of Matthew. We can all stand. We will read this passage together, please. Matthew 5. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to thank you for this day, O God. We thank you for this message, O Father. Father, let us be stewards of your word, that we might show good works, Father, so that you might be glorified. Father, we believe that the spirit that we have received, the spirit that you have so much cherished, cannot leave us unfruitful. Father, we ask for the grace to be fruitful among the unbelievers so that they might see the good works that you do in us and they shall turn to you. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for anybody who is sick in this place and we ask for the grace of the Lord Jesus to touch them in their bodies. Father, in the name of Jesus, we command any evil tormenting spirit that is bringing sickness in somebody's body in this place to depart in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for your grace to be extended to us so that we might walk in the work of the Spirit. Father, we just thank you because we do not leave this place the same way we entered. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that you have bestowed upon us and for the grace that is firing our hearts, Father, to do your will. Father, we just pray, as your word says, that you give us the grace to guard our hearts above all else so that we might walk in the course of our lives. Father, we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the majesty that you deserve. And we pray, O Lord, that only your name may be glorified. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.